What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, October 29th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And let me tell you, man, oh man, did I have a day on Monday. I'm never booking a layover flight again if I can. Spent quite a bit of time in the Boston airport, but you know what? It gave me a chance to rewatch that game, and I'll tell you, rewatching the game, it was even more impressive, I thought, than watching it live. I thought the offense looked better on the rewatch than I did watching it live. I thought the defense looked better. Cooper stood out. Quinyon stood out. Jalen made great throws. And obviously, we talked about a lot of this on the daily pod and in the postgame pod with James. But just a super, super impressive win. And, you know, seeing Eagles fans that were at the airport in Cincinnati, not as many in Boston, people are happy. And it's awesome to see people happy after that win. So let's get into it. Here's what you should keep an eye out for on Tuesday. As always, because the Eagles yet again have a Sunday to Sunday schedule, something they have not had much of the past few years, but have had a few weeks in a row here these past few weeks. 11:15, the coordinators speak. Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore, Michael Clay. Not much to get into on Michael Clay. Not a super eventful game for the special teams, but excited to hear what Vic Fangio has to say about how he thought Cooper DeJean played, how he thought Quinyon played, how you know, his defense was able to do that against a really good Cincinnati offense. And then with Kellen Moore, you know, Jalen's been under center more and more, which we're going to get into in a minute here with Nick Sirianni, but really impressive performance from both sides of the ball. So excited to hear the coordinators talk about that. So at 11:15, the coordinators will speak. Make sure you are tuned in to your favorite Twitter follower, because all of the beat writers will be there and they'll be tweeting out all the different interesting quotes. And then if you can't do that, we'll have whatever interesting things the coordinators had to say on the Wednesday daily pod. Injury report. So Nick Sirianni did speak on Monday, and while he didn't offer an update on Darius Slay, the groin injury that he suffered on Sunday against the Bengals, Darius Slay was on a pod, which is a statement, you know, people just love to hear. I know him, this fan base. And he said he's getting an MRI on the groin injury. So maybe a potential update on Tuesday. I would be surprised. I think Wednesday is going to be a better look at how Darius Slay is feeling, see if he's practicing. And frankly, even if he doesn't practice, I think there's a shot he plays on Sunday, but would not be a great thing if he wasn't out there on the practice field. So keep an eye out for a potential Darius Slay update on Tuesday. Darius Slay would be a big loss. As good as Quinyon's played and as intriguing as Isaiah Rodgers is, and I will say going up against Jacksonville, it's a good week to break in a new cornerback, but Darius Slay is really important to this team. He had a huge play in the game against the Bengals. I think he's really, really important in just like mentoring these young cornerbacks, and I know like they're not going to trade him. But if he's hurt, he'll still be around. But I think he's an important player for this team. I think he's very underrated. So hopefully he's not out. And if he is out, hopefully it is not for long, because this team is really starting to get some good reps going. And you don't want to see that ruined by having to sub guys in and out of the lineup. All right. So on Monday, while your boy was sitting at the Boston airport for 12 hours, Nick Sirianni spoke to the media. And it is funny now. I know he beat the Browns, but you just think about how progressively less like tense and important his press conferences have gotten now that the team is playing well. They've won three in a row. The press conferences are a little more lighthearted, to say the least. So a big talking point since the Bengals game, but really since the Giants game as well, has been Jalen Hurts under center more. So if you look, Hurts has been under center, I believe, 21 times against the Bengals. He was under center 13 times against the Giants, and he hadn't been under center more than, I think, 7 or 8 times in any other game this year. So he was under center more against the Bengals, and he was under center more against the Giants. So why is that? Nick Sirianni was asked about it. Here's what he had to say.
I know some of it's probably game flow a little bit, but we've seen an uptick in under center usage over the last couple of weeks. Why is that, and what are the benefits of it for you guys?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of that is, you know, just the way the game is played out, and you know, different situations that happen in the game. I think we've had some big leads here the last couple of weeks that probably make that number balloon even more. But it's good to just be multiple and some different things, but still do what you do well. And I think, you know, we've had a lot of success being in the gun, you know, and also can have some success here under center. Different personnel groupings give you some different under center opportunities as well. And so, yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything.
So I think there is a lot of truth to that. The fact that they've had big leads, lends itself to running the ball. I think a lot of times when they're under center, you see that they are running the ball. Here's my thing on the under center thing. I know that they're doing it more, and I do think that is a positive for the offense. You never want to be super one-dimensional or at the bottom of the league in any one thing, and I think it's good for the coaching staff to do it, and I think it's good for Jalen to do it, and I think it's good they're working together on doing it. But I will believe that they are like a comfortable under-the-center team when they are doing it on big drives where they have to have something, or doing it in a super close game where it's a 3-point game, like 7-point game, either way, all game, and they have to keep scoring. Like against the Giants, they were up big. Against the Bengals, they were up big. You know, they're up like 10 plus points, I think, for almost an entire quarter, a quarter and a half. So I think it's a positive step. I'm not trying to completely diminish it, but I won't view them as like past the not going under center thing until we see them do it over a prolonged stretch in big moments where they have to have it and they feel the best play requires going under center and they call that play. That's when I think they'll be over what has been, you know, a pretty strange thing that they haven't really run almost any under center plays. So I think Nick is correct that it is situational, but it's still a positive, still good for them to do it. But again, I'll believe it when I see it. So the other thing Nick Sirianni was asked about was Devontae Smith. So obviously we all know against the Giants, he had one catch for minus 2 yards. And then he goes out on Sunday against the Bengals, has over 100 yards, has that awesome touchdown catch, and really is the best, in some ways, the best player in the game. I gave him the player of the game, which you saw on my Instagram if you follow me there. Sirianni was asked about that and kind of, you know, how he goes from 1 week not having any targets to the next week having a ton. And here's what Nick had to say.
I think first and foremost, every week we go into every game plan like, how are we going to get these guys the ball? And so you won't really know that it's not going to be your week until the game's going on and the flow of the game happens. And you might not, and even then, like, you might need a big play as the game continues on. So sometimes you don't even know that the week's going to play out like that until the game's over. Now you have some ideas of how they might double guys at certain spots and this and that. And so I think, you know, that's the first thing. Like, you don't know as the week leads up. And so everyone's preparing the way they are. But then I think it takes great selflessness. You know, being a team, right, is, you know, fighting for each other, is celebrating together, being selfless and understanding that sometimes, it's not – going to be your turn that week. And all that matters is that we win. Like, I think what Devontae, you know, talking about Devontae, like, he changed the game other ways last week against the Giants. It just wasn't in when he was catching the football. And then he's able to come out and change the game, you know, with the ball in his hands this week. I just think it says a lot about our guys and their selflessness of being able to roll with the punches and play the next play and know, you know, there's going to be some times like that. I think, you know, it was nice to get Devontae the game that he had yesterday, and I think it showed up in many ways, right? You saw him make an unbelievable touchdown catch with in traffic on a jump ball. Jalen put a great ball on him. We had great protection, and Smitty went up and got it. And then I love the third down conversion by Devontae on the little sideline pass there that Jalen put out there for him. And then, you know, Devontae, I showed this in the team meeting today, Devontae lowering his shoulder and getting the extra yards needed. You don't see that a lot with, you know, a guy who's on the sideline. You see a lot of guys will step out of bounds, but Devontae's so tough. And the reason I say that is because he is so physically tough. But he's mentally tough too, and there are ebbs and flows of the season. You're going to have wins. You're going to have losses. How do you respond? You're going to have games where you have no catches. You're going to have games where you have, you know, whatever, however many he had yesterday, 6 for 86. And so, that takes mental toughness to be able to understand that. And he's not only physically tough, but mentally tough. And all those guys have to be in that same boat with him, and they are.
So what I think is interesting about this whole targets discussion is it feels like two or three times a year we have a game where someone's not involved and it's up. Devontae didn't get many catches, or man, AJ, you know, he's not going to be happy if he keeps getting that amount of touches, or why isn't Saquon getting the ball this year? Dallas Goedert, people never really seem to care when he doesn't get the ball, which is funny, but you know, like Goddard's not involved enough. What I think so funny about this is it has now been 2.5 years almost of having AJ Devontae and Dallas together. It's been 6 games of having Saquon here. It's been, you know, since Nick and Jalen have been here and Devontae's been here, right? Like, it's been a long time of the Eagles having a lot of talent. And not once has a player really spoken out about it. Like, every single time a player doesn't get enough touches, it's always, hey, it is what it is. I'll get him next week. Or I know there's been, like, little bits of AJ on the sideline, but, like, that's not about targets. And he said that's not about targets. I think we need to accept that these guys, because they're all paid and they're all close, when, like, AJ and Devontae are, like, brothers. Like, they are super close. I see it after practice. They talk about it. Saquon just got paid. Dallas Goedert needs to get paid, for sure. But like I said, for some reason, the fans never really care when Goddard doesn't get the ball. But when I look at this group of guys, I mean, I've covered all of them, their entire Eagles careers. They have never once have I gotten an indication that one of them is upset about the amount of targets they're getting. And so while we talk about it and we can track it and we can ask Nick about it, it clearly is not a big deal to them. So I think it's a very encouraging thing and a good sign for the locker room that they can have a game where one of their best players doesn't get a ton of targets. It can be talked about in the media, and it still is not a big story. So very encouraging, and I think Nick's right about how Devontae can impact the game in different ways. And, you know, you see it when you rewatch the game. Like Grant Calcaterra celebrating after a big block he has that helps Jalen Hurts score a touchdown. A.J. Brown really proud of a block he had to help Saquon the week before. This team really does support each other, and they're in a good space right now, and I don't think one or two games where a player doesn't get a ton of targets is going to change that. All right, last thing from Sirianni. He was asked about the trade deadline, and he gave a bit of a stock answer. Trade deadline a week from today, so it is definitely going to become something we're going to be talking about more and more. Here is what Sirianni had to say about it.
Yeah, you know, I love the team that we have, and I think this team's really coming together. With that being said, I know you know, we're always looking for ways to improve our team. And I know Howie's one of the best at that, the best at that, of always looking at ways that he can improve the football team. And I admire that and value that of how he goes to work there. And but like I said, love the guys that we have. You know, I think we're coming together really nicely as a team. But we'll see how this next week plays out.
And yeah, the first part of the question, as far as your history with midseason acquisitions, how does that affect the way you look at it?
Yeah, each year's different. Each year's, you know, again, like I said, every way we can make the team better, you know, I'm always up for that.
Yeah, so really, again, not much there from Sirianni, but it's interesting how things have changed with this team in the past few weeks. Like, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about trading a first-round pick for Max Crosby and Myles Garrett, and I would still do that, to be clear. But the pass rush has been better. The defense looks better. The offensive line's been good. You know, there's so much talk about them trading for a receiver. Like, last year, I was on team trade for a receiver. Like, I would have traded for Jerry Jeudy. I had interest in going out and getting guys. This year, I don't really get that. Like, they traded a third for Jahan Dotson, who I know hasn't lit the world up statistically, but guess what? No number three receiver is going to light the world up statistically in this offense. So I think they'll be active. I think they'll definitely try to bring in an edge, but this team seems to have something special going. And part of that Nick's answer right there is he's like, I love my guys, right? It does feel like this team is bonded. And I don't think bringing a player in via like that shouldn't stop Howie from making a trade. But it'd just be interesting to see, like, when all the defense is really clicking together and they're playing well and they all have their roles and they're all getting snaps, if you bring in somebody of substance that takes snaps away from a popular player on the defense, like, all of a sudden Nolan Smith's not playing as much, or you know, Brandon Graham's snaps are cut, or, you know, N'Kobe, like, whatever it is. I'll be curious to see how much this recent winning streak and the really good, like, culture they're seeming to build there would impact Howie, because I just don't think the needs are as bad as they were 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I think that when you have something special going, maybe you don't want to disrupt that. So we will see. Like I said, a week from today. So it's definitely something we will talk about over the next week. All right. Next up, as I mentioned, and as we'll keep mentioning, because I need to vent to somebody, and you guys are who I can get to vent to. While I was at the Boston airport for just about 12 hours on Monday, I did get a chance to rewatch a game. And as part of that, I have 5 underrated moments slash plays in the game that I think helped them win. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, so obviously there were a ton of big plays in that game. The Devontae touchdown, you know, the Jalen throwing for some third downs, running, you know, Jalen running for a few first downs. Like, there were some big highlight moments in there. But I want to talk about five plays that I think, obviously they've been discussed. It's the Eagles. Every single play gets discussed a ton. But five plays that stood out to me on the rewatch that I don't think we dove into enough on the post-game pod or on the Daily Pod on Monday. Five, I think, pretty big moments. So the first one, I'm going to go 9:41 to play in the second quarter. The Bengals are up 7-3. It's 3rd and 3 from the 9-yard line. Darius Slay, one-on-one coverage on the right side. The ball is thrown up. It's in the hands of the receiver. But before he goes down, Darius Slay, with his back kind of like to the quarterback, or his, you know, facing the receiver, gets his hand back and bats the ball away and knocks it away. So that keeps it 10-3 instead of 14-3. I was in Tampa when that thing fell out of control. You guys all watched that game. If it went to 14-3, that is such a different feeling than what it ended up being, which was 10-3. Huge play by Darius Slay. I just said at the beginning of the pod that if they were to not have Darius Slay, it would be a big blow to their their defense, I think, because I think he's played well. But that's a perfect moment. Like, I think Quinion would make that play, but we know Darius Slay made it. Darius Slay is a very underrated player. We talked about it in the daily pods last week. He's been really good this year. And to knock that pass away and to keep it 10-3, which would end up being huge, huge moment in the game, and really allowed the Eagles not to let it completely slip away at the beginning. Next play is actually right afterwards, and it's funny, this is the other succession, two straight plays I have in the five. 9:36 to play in the second quarter. So after Darius Slay knocks it away, Bengals up 7-3. They're facing 4th and 3 at their Eagles 9-yard line. Let me tell you something. The decision by the Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor, to kick that field goal is one of the more cowardly decisions I have seen. You have all the momentum. You have moved the ball up and down the field on this defense so far. You are 9 yards out, and you have an ability to get a fresh set of downs only 3 yards out. I am stunned he kicked that field goal. And it's funny because Nick gets so much criticism for like how aggressive he can be. Two straight weeks against the Bengals and the week before against the Giants, we've seen head coaches of teams that need to win more than the Eagles do. Dable punts the ball from like the Eagles 45 or whatever it was. Zach Taylor kicks a field goal from the 9-yard line on 4th and 3. Nick wouldn't make those decisions, in my opinion. And again, like, these aren't like situational decisions. These are straight up like, time is not a factor. I was blown away. And I think it was a very helpful decision for the Eagles. I remember at the time when it happened saying, if the Eagles win this game, remember this moment, because the Eagles were really struggling. You know, again, it could have been 14-3 easily. They could have, I think if they would have gone for a 4th and 3, I think they would have gotten it. If I'm the Eagles, I was thrilled to see that field goal kicker come out. So very, very underrated, important moment in the game. All right. So the next one, 1:44 to play in the second quarter. The Bengals at this point are leading 10-3. The Eagles are driving, but they haven't scored a touchdown yet. It's 10-3. It's about to be end of the first half. And yes, they're going to get the ball back, but they're close to ending the first half without scoring a touchdown. And they're facing 3rd and 16. They're facing 3rd and 16. Jalen Hurts with a 17-yard pass to A.J. Brown gets the Eagles a first down, and they end up scoring a touchdown on the drive. What a massive moment in this game. I mean, if he doesn't get that first down, they're definitely, they're kicking the field goal. Or yeah, I think they would be kicking the field goal based where they are. And yeah, then you're only down 4. I get all that. But to go into the half tied when the Bengals should have had all the momentum, they were wearing the all white uniforms. Like, they needed the game. They were at home. Like, this game could have so easily been 14-3 at halftime. And instead, because of these plays, it's 10-10 with the Eagles getting the ball out of the half. Like, that 3rd and 16 throw to AJ was clutch. It was through a few defenders. It was in the pocket. Like, great throw by Jalen. That was a massive, massive play in the game. And I think going into the halftime 10-10 was so big for this team. When, again, like I said, it really could have been way worse. All right, the next set of plays, which are plays that have been talked about, but rewatching them, I simply can't talk about important plays in this game without bringing it up. 1:26 to play in the third quarter. The Eagles are up 24-17. It's 3rd and 1. So they're only up a touchdown. It's 3rd and 1. The Bengals are driving. It looks like they are going to keep this thing going, right? 3rd and 1, Brandon Graham absolutely stones the Bengals running back for no gain. Brandon Graham has been awesome this year. And I will say, actually, this team feels like they've done really good in important short down situations on defense. So I was super impressed by that play live, but rewatching it, for Brandon Graham to do that, like, that was a big, big play. Now, what's funny is the next play, like, Zach Taylor is brave enough to go for the fourth down. And this is the play that, man, on tape, it just is so impressive. So it's fourth and one, 24 to 17, 45 seconds to go in the third quarter. It's kind of the game right here. Or not the game, because it's only a 7-point game. But this felt like when the Eagles kind of really kind of clinched this thing. So it's fourth and one. Ja'Marr Chase is moving in motion. He starts to go to the left. He stops. He goes back to the right. Cooper DeJean is mirroring him the whole time. Like, so Cooper's following him to the left. When Ja'Marr Chase kind of stops and goes the other way, Cooper stops, goes the other way with him. Like, he is mirroring one of the best receivers in the NFL in this crucial situation on the road in his third career start. And then the pass is thrown. Cooper, again, reading it perfectly. He knows Ja'Marr Chase is going to get it. And just tackles him for the fresh set of downs. And you want to talk about a play that'll win over teammates. Like, obviously, it wins over fans. And Cooper was on the Players' Lounge Monday night. Couldn't go to it because, as I mentioned, I was in the airport for 12 hours in Boston. But it'll be in the podcast feed, and you guys should check it out. That play by Cooper was unbelievable, and it was such a massive play in the game. There was the other play where Cooper is basically one-on-one with, I forget who it was, at, like, the two-yard line, goes out, momentum's against him, and brings him down. Like, Cooper was unbelievable in that game, and rewatching it, it really, really stood out. So those five plays, I mean, you know, you think back to the 2022 season, you think back to the 2017 season, and you think about the moments, right? Like some of the important moments in those seasons. These are some of those moments where if the Eagles turn into the special team they're starting to become, that we'll remember. So again, as much as I did not want to spend 12 hours in the Boston airport on Monday, it was awesome rewatching that game. And I can't wait to talk to you guys about it the rest of the week. So thank you guys for listening. I'm tired, but I love you, so I had to do it. And until next time, which will be Wednesday, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.